Let's pray. Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear today, eyes to see, hearts that are just postured before you with fertile ground, feet that want to run with obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. When I look at 2018, and I look at faces throughout here, some of you, I don't know your stories. Others, I do know your stories. But I look at 2018, and what I don't want to say is, I don't want to say God tested us, because we understand Scripture, right? But what I do understand is that I believe that many of us went through a season of sifting. God was sifting things in us, right? God was revealing to us kind of what our true heart was when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to church, the things that we really value, the things that we really love. And unfortunately, a lot of that sifting came through hard seasons. And can we turn my gain down just a little bit? Came through hard seasons, right? Came through challenging situations. Came through, from our end, what appeared to be testing. Whether it be through sickness, whether it be through illness, whether it be through relationship problems, whether it be through death and car accidents, whether it be through personal rebellion or financial issues or family not coming to Christ, 2018, from my perspective, and I guess this, many people have accepted that as what life is. They've said, this is just how life is always going to be. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think we need to accept that life will always be miserable, because God didn't create life for us to be miserable. 2018, for many people within this community, was a miserable year. Right? Okay, thank you. Miserable year, hard, challenging, frustrating. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, Scripture does say that when you walk throughout life and you live for Christ, you will face hard seasons. You will be persecuted. You will face challenging moments. We understand that from Scripture. But still, what I saw was, as the church, meaning not only this church, but even just the regional church and the global church, as the church was being sifted, it was a mindset that they gave into as well. They just handed themselves over to this way of thinking that this is the way that life is. And I don't think we need to live that way. Now, what we do need to see is this year, even as I went through sifting and God exposed things in my own life, here's what I need to realize is I fall short in many areas. And through these challenging moments that I've went through, God has revealed to me areas that I need to give to Him, right? In these challenging situations, what I'm realizing is I can't become my own God anymore. As maybe talented as you may be, and as talented as I may be, or as the little bit that I have, or the little bit that you have, guess what? In that, I'm still exposed to God and understand that I fall short and I need Christ. So my perspective of 2018 is not, look how miserable it was, is it was, look how God exposed my need for Him. Through all the sickness, through all the death, through all the financial, through all the. What I'm learning is, look at my need for Christ. And when that becomes the center of my life, that I need Christ, and that Christ is the center, then everything else begins to look different. See, you don't have to like everything that happens. I don't like many of the things that have taken place this year. But I love Jesus. And He's been with me and He's been with you through every bit of the way. But that's the mindset that we need to do to have, is to walk in confidence with knowing that Christ is with us in every moment. Christ hasn't left you this year. He didn't leave you last year. He's not leaving you next year. And what's been revealed through this season is actually sometimes Christ is not enough for you, and Christ is not enough for me. Now, he is. The blood of Jesus is all sufficient, is enough. But within our own hearts, he's not enough. What we want is we want Christ and. And, you know, that's where that sifting takes place, is because then you say, look, God, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, but then this hard season happens, and then that season takes the focus, right? So then now I'm fixing the holes in the wall because our dogs are crazy, right? And now my focus is just YouTubing how to putty a wall, right? So then you putty a wall, and then you paint it, and Macy's like, you don't do that. I'm just trying to play it up that I'm not handy at all. And no one even laughed. You guys believe that. So now I'm focusing on that you think that I'm not even close to a man. Praise God. Your focus becomes on the storm, and then when your focus becomes on the storm, then you do one of two things. You fight or you run. Fight or flight. And I want to cultivate within this community in 2019 is to become fighters. What I've seen within us is a culture of runners right now. And that's not the DNA that we have as children of God. As sons and daughters of the Most High, we're fighters. We're ones who hang in there. We're ones who endure. It doesn't mean that it feels good. It doesn't mean that we like it. What it means is that we just keep on fighting, and we fight, and our focus is Christ, and our focus is the Bible, and our focus is who we are in Christ. Not what the world says about us, not what challenge comes our way. But when challenges come our way, guess what we have the opportunity to do? Serve Christ in it. God, I don't prefer this situation. God, I don't like this situation, but what I'm going to do is offer my very best to you in it. I don't like that I have to put putty on my wall right now. First world problem, right? I don't like that it's been raining. Look, this is how funny we are. Man, I hate the winter. So then it's like 50 and 60 degrees, and then you find something else to hate about it. Like, all you wanted was sunny and 75, so then you get cloudy and 55. And then you find a way to complain about it. Well, you know, if it was just cold again, then the dogs wouldn't bring mess, all this mud outside, and then every time they walk into the kitchen, it's just like this, it's shady bowl. That's what it is. We got shady bowl 4 times a day in the kitchen, and I have to clean that stuff up. Because I want my wife to come into a pristine house and just have restitute and peace. And I know when the kitchen's like shady bowl with holes in the wall and heavy music playing, she can't relax. Because I fidget, and I already told you, I sing all the time. So then she comes in to me listening to sports talk radio, me singing Bethel worship, shady bowl going on, dogs taking laps around, right? And it's just a nut house. I want her to have peace. And you know what? Guys don't have really good eyes either. So I cleaned up Shady Bowl, but I only did like half the track. And I'm like, look how good this is. Like, this is great. And she comes in and she sees this mess. My focus becomes about the stuff rather than Christ. And I've seen a church, and I've seen the church say, if these things would be fixed, if this would be fixed, and when this happens, and when that happens, and when this happens, and when that happens, and then, 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 I'll be okay. Anyone else that way this year? We're a participating church. Thank you. We keep on lying to ourselves and say, once this comes off the list, then I'll have more time to do this. And then once this comes off the list, then I'll have more time to do this. And And but then in our hearts we say Christ is the center. But all the things that we're trying to make time for is actually Christ. Christ in our relationship with, and this isn't everyone, this is a theme I see within our culture, but we're trying to knock stuff off so that we can have time for the main things or the main thing that we need in our life, and that's Jesus Christ. What good is having a pristinely clean house or a half shady bowl clean house, right? If I don't know Christ. What good is a new vehicle that can get me to and from work without engine problems if I don't know Christ? What good is, as Scripture would say, to gain the whole world but to lose my soul? What good is it? It's none. 2018, 2017 revealed things about us. We've been sifted. We've seen shortcomings. We've seen weaknesses. And if you've hung in there, I believe that God's bringing revelation to you about how to overcome by the blood of Jesus some of those things. Keep on hanging in there. Make Christ the center. Quit saying once you get to this and once you get to this and once you get to this, because I promise you this, if you continue within that pattern, you're going to be on your deathbed and you're going to say, once I get to what? You have nothing else. Start today. Make Christ the priority in your life. Read a paragraph today. And if you wake up tomorrow, and if I wake up tomorrow, read a paragraph tomorrow. Listen to 3 minutes of an audio Bible today. And if you wake up tomorrow, listen to another 3 minutes. Be intentional about praying before you're falling asleep at bedtime. Be intentional about having a moment of worship. Be intentional about giving more than you receive this year. Be intentional about it. And you know what? I'll say this. Maybe your problems are never fixed. Maybe they are. But you know what? You tried to honor God in everything that you did. But I do believe this. I believe that the more that we're obedient to godly things and the things that God asks of us, the more free we're going to end up being. His Bible is the living word. So if you haven't experienced any living in 2017, in 2018, and going into 2019, if you haven't experienced any true living, then I would say there's a great chance you haven't studied the Word. Because the living Word brings transformation. It brings life. It brings hope. It brings peace. It brings correction. If you want to live, read the Word. Be obedient to the Word. I've heard pastors say this. I've never said it before. That was all free. So now I've said it. Going into 2019, we're going to be finished by 11:30. So I figured today I'd take you to the wire. 11:59. No, we should be done by then. So, over the next several weeks, we're going to discuss what we hope to see as a church at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship in 2030. So, all you conspiracy theorists, it's like, well, isn't that, like, isn't 2021 when like one world order is going to take place, and if that doesn't take place, then we certainly know that 2030 is the date. So imagine if 2030 Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship is a thriving community. Imagine Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship either having a blown out wall or a balcony in here, because the sick the needy, the orphans, and the widows are hungry for Christ. Imagine that. Imagine hundreds of people getting saved, hundreds of people engaged in a small group. Actually, a culture changed within Mechanicsburg, within all of our surrounding communities where the focus is Jesus. That you can be at any gas station and people recognize what you represent, and that's Jesus Christ. That it's common for us as communities to pray at Certified, to pray at Renato's, to see people walking the streets in prayer walks, to see typical people just handing over their resources. The church being the church. Imagine it being common to see at wherever, Mix 165, or the new coffee shop in town, Hebrews, we're going to call it. Imagine at the coffee shop, Bibles just being opened. And it not being weird for someone to close their eyes and to pray. See, this church, this community, we can make that impact. But guess what? I'm here to tell you that I can't do it. I can't. I can't do it by myself. And even the church leadership here, the elders, the deacons, the partners, they can't do it either. Y'all got skills, but you can't do it. We need each other. We need the full body of Christ. We need full participation. It doesn't matter if we have LeBron James on this team. LeBron James by himself cannot beat. LeBron James, even with like four other dead bodies, as we see, LeBron James can't beat the Warriors. He can't do it. So no matter how talented or skilled one is or not, they need other team members. And what I hope going into 2019 is you guys understand that you play a role in furthering the kingdom within this community. There's many things that I want to get to, but I think I'll hold that. So why does the church exist? Is it to entertain us? Is it to provide programs for us? Is it to make us feel good? Or is it to give us something to talk about? Why does the church exist? I asked a couple people this week, when you come to church, are you there to give something or are you there to receive something? And this was a one-on-one conversation. I said, come on, be serious with me. Are you there to give or are you there to receive? And that ruffled a few feathers, right? And he said, I'm there to receive. That's what I go to church for. I'm there to receive from the worship. I'm there to receive from the word, and then I'm there to leave. Why does Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship exist? Why do we exist? Why do we have these walls? Why do we have these chairs? Why do we come here every Sunday? There's a book that the staff's going to be going through this month or January by Tom Rainer, and it's I Am a Church Member. And this is what Tom Rainer says in the book. The church has become a modern-day country club. People come to be served rather than to serve. Country club memberships means privileges, right? Why else do you sign up for a country club? You get golf, you get an exclusive club, you get food, you get drinks. There's privileges. But what does membership mean? Membership often means you serve me. You provide a service for me. So when I get a membership at the YMCA, when I go there, I'm paying them to serve me. What he's saying is that most people can get caught up in the trap that the church is there to serve them on Sunday mornings as individuals. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to think that the church isn't created to serve me. Rainer continues to say that for them, membership is about receiving rather than giving, being served instead of serving, rights instead of responsibilities, and entitlements instead of sacrifice. And he finishes by saying, this is a wrongful view of membership when we see tithes and offerings as dues that entitle us to membership, to never-ending lists of privileges and expectations instead of an unconditional, cheerful gift to God. There's a lot there to swallow, isn't there? Well, that's not me. Look, we can all be there, and that's okay. We've all been there. The good news is this, is I think that overall as a church, we do pretty well in these areas. I think that overall, Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship, now look, there's days, there's seasons, there's moments, but I think overall as a church, we do come here because we are interested in what God has wants to do within this community. We're interested in worshiping and loving. I do think we can get sidetracked sometimes, and we can become very opinionated, right? How many of you have ever had an opinion about this church? Can I get a witness? There's probably opinions flying around right now. Nevertheless, in seasons like this, what's important is we evaluate our fruit, right? What fruit are you producing? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at two verses. Verse 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Sometimes you can think and think so much about godly things that you think that just because you're thinking about it, that that's who you actually are. I believe that you're not what you say you are, you're what you do. So, if I were to tell you that my favorite restaurant is Lee's Chicken, what would you tell me? Come on, participate, come on. Lee's Chicken is my favorite recipe. It's not, yes, no, why? Because I've seen like three of you at Chipotle this week, and I was convicted. Really? Joseph Lacey saw me and he came up. He's like, "What's up, bro?" He's like, "Fancy to see you here." Whatever. I'm going to pray for you on Sunday. And look, he's not even here for me to pray for him. My actions, I am what I do rather than what I say I am. If I tell Ron to his face, "I love you," but then whenever Ron's not in the room, I bash him. Do I love you? Mm-mm. But if I tell Ron that I love him to his face, and then I honor him, and I value him, and I speak highly of him every time I'm out of his presence. Do I love him? To the best of my abilities, I do. My actions reveal my heart. My actions reveal my fruit. You know what would be really nice? If I could think about losing weight and I actually lose weight. Right? But I think about a lot of food, so I'm kind of happy it doesn't work that way as well. But here's the thing. If I want to lose some weight going into 2019, I can't just think about it. If I want the fruit of losing weight, what do I need to do? I need to work for, I need to eat fruit. I did notice that pun in there, and I'm like, maybe someone will catch it, and I already forgot about it. You need to eat more fruit. You need to run. You need to walk. You need to do some jumping jacks. You need to do some sit-ups or something. You need to have action for that fruit. You can't just think about it. I believe that the church, one of the biggest deceptions within the church has been that they think about good things rather than doing good things. And that's been from the beginning of time, I believe. This church going into 2019 doesn't want to be a church that has a lot of good thoughts. It's going to be scary, some of the steps that we take. It's going to be hurtful. Some of us might be punched in the face. Now, you old women, like, look, wait a second. You didn't let me finish. Older women. Look, there is a way out of it, Mark. Look, Donna's the only old woman here.
She looked at me.
Donna can take it. There's no way out of that. I'm human. I need help. Church, help me. What's the worst thing your pastor ever did? He literally called people old. You did yourself, Finn. We quit listening. You know what? To bring this full circle here, guess what? It's not about the things that you say. It's not. It's about your actions. It's about your actions, and what my actions just proved is that I love these women that are older than me. Thank you. Actions, fruit. You guys hungry? I can buy you lunch later, too. Yeah. Praise God. Fruit, actions. Let's bring it back in, right? I'm going to try to bring it back in. Literally, God's with us today, right? No ill intentions there, and you guys know that. No matter how much I think about losing weight, I have to pursue action. No matter how much good we see within our community, we have to pursue action. No matter how many people we dream of seeing saved and set free, no matter how many marriages we want to see restored, guess what? We have to pursue action. And hoping and thinking isn't getting it done. So I had this church experience once where I was sitting with a group of leaders, and it wasn't here at Mechanicsburg. I was sitting with this group of leaders, and for 1 hour, we were talking about serving the least of these. They said, I just really sense that God wanting us to serve the least of these, the drug addicts, the drunkards, the homeless, those who've never been introduced to Christ, passion. I mean, tears were coming down people's faces. Passion. 45 minutes to an hour of this conversation, and I heard it. And I sat there, and I listened, And then guy walks in the door. This had never happened ever before. Guy walked in the door with a Crown Royal bag. It's like 12 o'clock. He walked in with a Crown Royal bag, his fancied jeans, his FUBU jacket, and he struts in, right? And he said, "Hey, I walked from 30 miles away, and I'm trying to find this location. Do you know where it's at?" You could tell that this guy hasn't showered in days, maybe didn't eat in days, didn't know where he was, but he was looking for a location. And I sat there, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna see how passionate you really are about the things you were just talking about. I'm going to observe it. So talk. They heard it. He said, "I'm looking for this location. Do you know where it's at?" And they said, "Well, actually, you walked 3 miles too far. So if you turn around, go back here, make a left, and walk 3.5 miles till you hit this location, make a left, that location will be there." For 45 minutes to an hour, we just talked about how passionate of a church we are to love people, to engage them, to help the least of these. A guy just who walked in the door looking like he hasn't showered in days, hungry, with a Crown Royal bag and dirty clothes, walked in and said, "Can you help me? I need your help, please. I'm crying out for help." And the church said, "Yeah, walk 3 miles back the other direction." You can talk about it as much as you want. So this is what I did. I let the man walk out the door, and I said, "I want to go home to Macy tonight. We're sitting here talking passionately about loving people. I'm taking this man where he needs to go. Who's going with me? Because I need to go home. I don't know this guy. He's bigger than me. And you already know I can't even pick up a hammer. Who's going with me to take this guy where he needs to go?" So then someone finally stepped up. "I'll go with you." So we hopped in the car and we drove him where he needed to go and prayed with him. Nothing crazy happened, but it revealed our heart, right? Our heart was there was one person willing to actually do it that day. We have to address those things within us. Don't just yammer away about all the things you want to see done. Your actions reveal to you what your heart is. So as a church, what do we say we are in comparison to what we actually are? What fruit are we producing as a team here at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship? And when I say team, that's all of us. What role are you playing? What role are we playing or willing to play? Are you willing to play a role that you do not prefer for the betterment of the team? So what are we as a church? Why do we exist? What are we here for? Who are we as a church? How do we look in the mirror and say it's time to be more effective for the kingdom? Remember several years ago, right after Macy and I got married, it was like, man, you're trying to make all these special meals for Macy, so you just eat a lot of food. So like, I'm preparing this awesome meal, Tostino's pizza, and it's like, Macy, oh, look what I made for you, right? And then you get like canned Alfredo, and you put it in these noodles, look how good of a cook I am. And then you just become the garbage truck, and you eat it all, And I end up being, you know, from all these homemade meals, it's the Mennonite in me, I promise. All these homemade meals, I ended up gaining a bunch of weight. So we were getting ready to go to a concert, and we're over at her parents' house, and we were having some kind of Valentine's Day dessert. And Macy took a picture of me sitting by my cheesecake and strawberries. And then she showed me that picture. I said, "Who is that?" She said, "That's you." "No, it's not. No, like, that's really you. No, it's not." See, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and you have to give yourself a sober assessment and you have to see that picture of who you really are. And then you have to choose whether that's who you want to be or you have to make a change. And when I saw that picture, I said, "I need to make a change because I don't know that person. And that person isn't who I see in my head." Because the person that I saw in my head was the young high school athlete, right? But in reality, I was far from it. As a church, when we look in the mirror, who are we? So we're going to talk about some good things, some hard things. But over the past 10 years of Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship, projecting on no one, right? Over the past 10 years at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship, we have steadily declined over 100 people. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. We've declined over 100 people until 2016. When 2016 hit, we've been on a slight increase since then, where in 2016 we were averaging in the 160s. 2018, we're probably going to average around 180 people. Praise God, there's a little bit of an increase, right? But we need to look in the mirror and we need to say, "God, we need to find this within our hearts and say, God, there's 1,800 people within Mechanicsburg. There's no reason why we should be declining as a church. There's no reason that the harvest is," Scripture says, "the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful in Mechanicsburg. The harvest is plentiful in West Liberty. The harvest is plentiful in Urbana. The harvest is plentiful in Springfield. The harvest is plentiful in Bell Fountain, in Marysville, in Irwin, in London. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Look, it's not about having a big church, because actually the bigger the church, the bigger the problems. You realize that? The more people you bring together, it's almost as if the more problems you can create. But we really want to see souls saved here and people set free, and that's why we exist. We don't exist just to have fun every week. Look, yeah, it's hard to talk about. It was hard for me to think that I had to go to Walmart and look the way that I looked, because I didn't feel good within my skin. I always had that problem from that little kid being overweight, being made fun of at school. So then whenever I was overweight, I never liked it. I didn't feel good in my skin. Something I had to work out with God. I'm positive when church leaders here at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship and church members dream of their church, they never dreamed and put together a dream plan that said, "You know what, in 2008, we're going to have 280 people here. And then my dream is, by 2018, we're going to have 180. Was that the dream? No, not the dream. Now look, numbers don't always mean fruit. But how many unbelievers do we have in the room right now? How many people are in here that are really, really, really doubting who Jesus is? How many people has this community reached out to this week to say, "Do you really know who Jesus is?" Success is not easy. But maybe our thoughts have outweighed our unity and fruit as a church to be effective for the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about what our fruit, Well, I want to talk about what 2018 looked like for us. And I want to say, I don't think that this is us thriving. I don't think that this is us giving our best effort to God. So this year, this is a give or take number, right? And you know what? This is even a risk for me to share these things, because then there's some people in here who are going to fight. And that's the nature that God's given us. Hey, let's fight for this church. Let's fight for this community. Let's fight for people. And then there's other people who are going to say, it's easier to go root for Alabama, right? It's really easy to be an Alabama fan right now because they're good every year. Will you fight for this community? Will you fight for the church within Mechanicsburg? So it's a risk because some of you guys are going to want to fight and others are going to want to run. So out of 52 or 51 weeks, based upon some of the numbers that I have, we have seen 25 new families-ish walk through the doors this year. So one family, every other new family on average, walk through every other week. Does that sound like a great number? We had around 20 people come in for a new person meal. So of some of those families, we had around 20 people, 20 families possibly come in for a new meal. We had 55 people participate regularly, somewhat in a small group. We had 30 people attend a church foundations class. We graduated around a class of 10 or more students. We had, if numbers are right, around 18 people baptized this year. We participated in 9 outreach events. We gave away 86 Christmas gifts. We had 75 students or kids within retreats or camps. We had, we had 75 day camp kids, and we had 40 participate in certain camps. We had 5 to 7 evangelistic events, depending on how we're counting. So we had the comedy night, we had tea nights, we had men's events. So we had 5 to 7, depending on how we're counting. We had 7 confessions of Jesus being Lord over their life. That's something to celebrate, right? 7 confessions. But you think of 51 weeks out of the year. 51 weeks out of the year. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And I don't think when I read scripture it says the harvest is plentiful, that 7 is plentiful. Is that plentiful to you guys? Is 7 souls saved in 51 weeks plentiful? So scripture says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So is it because, this is a question as we look into the mirror, is it because as a congregation, and this is, again, a hard, you know, I could go very like encouraging, like we're going to go get it, we're going to, whatever. We're just looking in the mirror. Is it maybe because as workers, we're not out maybe doing the work that God wants us to do? Is that maybe it? We have seen attendance grow a little over the past 2 years. We've had around 25, we have around 25 to 30 members serve within the church regularly. Now, the bank is bigger, but we have 25 to 30 people serve around weekly, whether it be meetings, planning events, door greeting, serving coffee, helping in children's church, helping in youth group, serving on the worship team. We have around 50 serve on a monthly basis. And you know what? I want to say this. We're thankful for every bit of that. And I also want to say this. I'm thankful that every single one of you come to church here. Very thankful. And we want to continue to reinvite you here. And we want to do life together. And we want to talk about hard things. And we want to laugh together. And we want to talk about Ohio State. And we want to complain about why Ohio State should always be in the championship. We want to do all those things together. But we also want to be able to be honest with one another. Here's where it hurts. I can count on one hand how many people were formally discipled by a church member this year. Doesn't that hurt? One of the biggest illusions within the church is that someone else is doing it. If I don't see it, someone else is doing it. Well, 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 someone else is doing it. The church, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Surely I'll be with you. Go into the world, baptize, make disciples. The Great Commission should be something that we value here as a culture, as a congregation. And your participation matters. Because you know what? One thing I'm not going to be able to do is one day go to God and say, well, God, when I attended that church, they didn't provide me any opportunities to disciple anyone, so then therefore you can just forgive me for that, right? You can't hide behind anyone other than the blood of Jesus. God's calling us to walk out the Great Commission, to make disciples, and I can count on my hand, a single hand, how many people were formally discipled this year within the church. Is that something that gets me excited? You know what it gets me excited about? Is we can't do much better, or sorry, we can't do much worse next year. It's only up. Look, you know I've been doing bad with my words today. It can't get much worse. I can't even look at them. Let Macy know your Chipotle order later. I want to make a joke, but I'm not. As we said a couple weeks ago, godly maturity means just holding back on some of the things you want to say. One hand. You know what would be great? Is I think within personal, as God-fearing Christians, as people who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later for the atonement of my sin, and that he's the only way, I believe that as he asks me to make disciples, I can at least do one a year, right? So what that would mean is based upon our average attendance, that would mean that next year at this time, everyone discipling one person, and so hypothetically, there's 100 people in this room right now. Next year at this time, we should formally have 100 people being discipled. Is that too much to ask? Participate. Is that too much to ask? Is it scary? Yes. Is it stretching? Yes. Will God be with you as you do it? Yes. One hand. Right? And are you guys okay? I know it's kind of like tough talking about. Are you guys okay? Okay. So we should end up with around 180 average attendance this year to kind of wrap up some stats. You know what's been really unique? Is when I looked at the numbers, this is really awesome. When I looked at the numbers in 2008, we were averaging a week $5,700 coming in through tithes and offering. So 280 people with $5,700. So this year, we're around 180 people and we're averaging $5,300 in tithe. Praise God. So look, I'm not pointing blame at you guys. You know, the giving, the tithe, it's like, how do we become better? How do we fine-tune the things that we're doing so that we can see greater fruit? And the fruit isn't for us, but one day we will celebrate with the fruit. The fruit is because there's hurting people within our community who are going to hell if they don't discover who Jesus is. And I'll tell you this, as a Christian, I can't stand for that. I can't be okay with that. When I was born again, something changed in me that my heart broke for people. I don't always do it right, but we have to see a harvest. So why does MCF exist? I still got 28 more minutes. We're wrapping up. Don't push your luck today, Joey. Why does MCF exist? Well, to glorify God, right? We exist as a church that when we come in here, that we bring honor to Him, that we bring glory to Him, and we do that by not only loving Him, but we do that also by the way that we interact with people. Bringing glory to Him is how I talk about Ron, to his face and behind his back. Bringing glory to God is the way that I trust Him with tithes and offerings. Bringing glory to God is the way that I serve and participate with Him. Bringing glory to God is, God, today there's an audience of one, and it's me and you in worship. To live a life abandoned to Him. To come in here prepared to honor Him. To pray, to walk in intimacy with Him. To know and be known by Him. Why does MCF exist? To edify the saints. To teach, to instruct, to encourage, to stir up, to bring life, to be put in godly positions to serve, to be accountable. Look, a life without accountability is scary. We all need accountability. Why does MCF exist? To share the good news. We exist to share the good news. This church has been through a lot this year. And I know that through small groups and through friends and family members that we've nurtured and we've helped and we've tried to build up those who are hurting, right? Can we always do better? Sure. But we've tried. But it's just not about us. It's about a lost community. You're not too young. You're not too young. To share the good news, to be effectively working for Christ. So our church statement going into the next season. The elders prayed about this. The elders discussed this at our retreat back in August. The next season for our church is this: to lead, equip, and send out a community of hope-filled. We talked about this earlier, right? We don't want to be, stay with me, right here. We don't want to be focused on all the negative things in our life. Hope deferred is a bad thing, as Scripture says, right? Hope-filled believers. That I'm having a bad day, and I'm having a bad season, but God, right? But God is with me. To lead, equip, and send out a community of hope-filled believers who genuinely experience the reality of being known by God, who believe God's word, engage in making disciples, and transform the world through the partnership of the Holy Spirit. That's our church statement. So is that your mission statement or vision statement? Yes. That's our statement. I'm going to read it one more time. We're going to start posting this on everything that we do here at the church. To lead, equip, and send out a community of hope-filled believers who genuinely experience the reality of being known by God, who believe God's word, engage in making disciples, and transform the world through the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're hope-filled believers who know God, who love his word, engage in obedience, and partner with his Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? How do we know that we're headed in the right direction? Well, we have a baseline, 2018, right? I'm going to take these numbers, I'm going to put them in a document, and then in 2019, we're going to look at it again. And maybe in 2019, what we say is this. Pastor Joey, what we did is we tried really hard. We had outreach events. We had, we served 25 communities in need. We shared the gospel. We presented Bibles. We prayed. We fasted. We gave everything we could. And this year, we had seven people confess that Jesus is Lord over their life. And then guess what we can say? God, we gave you our best effort. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, but God, we gave you our best effort. Some plant, some water, God brings the growth. But I would say this, if we are intentional as a church, if our hearts can become pure towards him, I think I can almost promise that these numbers will look different next year. Do you guys agree with that? There is fruit in our community. And there is more fruit than you imagine. But as Rainer encourages us in his book, it takes a servant heart, not a golf club mentality, not a country club mentality. We need each other. Just do that. Look at the person next to you and say, I need you. I need you. I need you. Anyone get a phone number with that? Now wait. Check this out. How many are even of that age to get a phone number in here? We want a culture. Okay, Noah. We want all generations here. Right? Every generation we want here. Nevertheless, you personally can make a huge impact on increasing the numbers we have discussed. I'm not talking to anyone other than you. And me, but meaning you. Like, I'm not, if I'm talking to Rob right now, it's not that I'm talking to Rob and not Mark. And it's not that I'm not talking to Kyle. Kyle's like, really? And I'm talking to Ron, and I'm talking to Bart, and Doug, and Macy, and Eric, and Laura. Yes. The young ladies. We're going to average 177 because this row right here, they're leaving the church after next week. Will someone share the good news with them? You matter. And this is where identity becomes so important. Your identity isn't what you think of yourself. Your identity is what the blood of Jesus says about you. And you know what the blood of Jesus says about you? That you are a faithful, that you are a child that he is well pleased. Because when he sees you, if you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, he sees the blood of Jesus and he sees a white gown. He sees the blood. You have your sin perspective. He has the blood of Jesus perspective. And if we would begin to think of ourselves as children of God, then I believe we would begin to understand our value more, which would mean that we would understand that we can come into the church once a week and answer phone calls. That we can sign up and pass out water bottles, thank you, at a event here within town. That we can sign up for anything and everything, to door greet, to cut bulletins, to disciple someone, to be on the worship team, to serve in kids ministry, to be a cleanup crew, to pick up your trash throughout the sanctuary. Like, we all play a role. And if we see ourselves through Christ's eyes, or even in a direction of Christ's eyes, then I believe that we're going to be more effective. I'll say it again. You matter, and your gift is needed for us to be effective. You play a part. I'm telling you, you play a part. We need a quarterback. We need an offensive line. We need a coach. We need offense coordinators. We need quarterback coaches. We need offensive lineman coaches. We need tight end coaches. We need quarterback critiquing coaches. We need other quarterback critiquing coaches. We need athletic directors. We need presidents. We need defense coordinators, cornerback coaches. We need players. We need people. You get the point, right? See, when I'm over here doing ministry, Ron can be behind me doing ministry, and Rob can be in front of me doing ministry, and Mark Miller can be cooking in the kitchen. Right? Effective, efficient. You cannot sit in your seat going into 2019 thinking that someone else is going to make it happen. You have value, and lives can and will be transformed because of your participation. So, what are some goals going into 2019, and then we're wrapping up. That's it. So, numerically, can we, by 2019, shoot for an average attendance of 200, it's not even that high of a bar, 210 people here. Average. Can we do that? Now, what that means is there are certain things that the church can do. We can have our service online. We can create videos. We can go door knocking. We can have outreach events. We can have fun nights. We can go visit church members or church friends of the church who are on the cusp of choosing to come or to go. But we can also encourage you guys to invite friends to make that intentional, because their life is on the line. We want to grow this church because their eternity is at risk. Our communities need to know Jesus loves them and wants to set them free. This means we just keep on inviting and inviting and inviting and sharing the good news. Now, maybe you're like, what are the avenues of that? If you're really looking for those avenues, then come see staff. Staff is going to begin to provide avenues for you and equip you to invite people. Amen? Financially, where do we want to be financially? Look, we've done a good job. Later in the month, we're really going to hit what we see tithe as here as a church. What we see tithe as offering to God. So I'm not going to get into that this moment. I'm not trying to get into your pockets. But what I do want to say is, let's see more people within the church trust God and faithfully give to Him. Right? Let's just see that happen. More people do it. Or if you do come here and you regularly tithe, petition God and say, how much more can I give this year? How much more, with these big dreams, with these big visions of the church, God, how much more can I give? So we, you know, we have outreach, outreach, staff training, discipleship curriculum, intentional discipleship, helping orphans, widows, evangelism, continuing to help fund our missionaries around the world, such as the Millers, the Hostetlers, and we're even able to help Luke Snyder, who grew up with this community, who's in Africa. So we are able to do that even this year. Food, clothes, Bibles for new Christians. Church family needs. We've met many of those church family needs this year. Do you guys know that, you know, it was 20, 30 years ago, door knocking was really important for church congregations. So you'd go and you'd knock on the doors, and then you'd share the good news, and you'd give them the Bible tract, right? That's not the case for the modern world, because now the modern world has these doorbells. They're called Ring. And they sit there, and then they let you know when anyone like steps over a premise, like 15 feet within your house, and then it'll show you a video of it. And then people see that, and then they say, oh, that's just Miller. I don't need to get up and go answer the door. Or that's just UPS, or that's just Ron. People don't answer their doors anymore. There's something about society that is backing away and hiding from answering the door now. You guys notice that? If your door, someone knocks on the door, you just ignore it. And then our dogs bark so we can be as noisy as we want. Like, we're just like, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. You don't know that I'm in here. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. You like that? The new door knocking is Facebook, is media, is videos. You post a video and you can strategically put in the age group, the people you want to reach, the demographic, and you might pay $5 for it, $10 for it. And what it'll do is it'll go to that person's Facebook and you will see it. You can get 10,000 views for $10. So if you want to knock on someone's door, you make a 60-second video, you post it on Facebook, you strategically market it, and then guess what? 10,000 people end up seeing it. So we want to door knock on people's hearts this year. Finances are going to help us be able to do the new door knocking, and we will send out people to knock on people's doors this year as well. But there's so many things that your offering can help us do. We want to have conferences here at the church. I have a big vision that we're going to begin to work on probably as soon as next week, where next year, kind of like IHOP does, International House of Prayer, each year over like the 30th and 31st, they have worship. And they just do worship and preaching and worship into the new year. So in 2019, we want to have the church full of local speakers, local worship leaders, and to host a conference here that's about bringing unity in the sense of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, right? And we want to worship into the new year as a culture. Sounds fun to me. Finances are going to help accomplish that. So ask God, how much more can we give this year? Nevertheless, spiritually, we want to know God deeper. We want to see 100 people regularly in a small group or MCF semester-based class or Wednesday night service. So there's some changes. We're going to begin to have semester-based classes where you can hop on 10 weeks, and then there's going to be a break. So maybe you're like, I'm interested in finances. I'm interested in spiritual warfare, or I'm interested in revelation. We're going to have 10-week classes where you can sign up for different classes throughout the week and then offer those. So we want over 100 people to sign up for those regularly. And we're also going to have a Wednesday night service. We want people to regularly take notes in journals and bring their Bibles to church. This number is low, but it would be great. We want to see 30-plus people come to Christ at Mechanics for Christian Fellowship. We want to see 50-plus people baptized. You already heard, we want to see 100 people discipled. We want to see 75% regular attendance for those who consider this their home. We want to see you here 3 out of 4 weeks. 3 out of 4 weeks, we ask that you would show up here. They're goals. If we don't have goals, what are we doing? You just come here, you do it, you go home, and then you don't know what to do. I know you're thinking, that's a lot. But we need to walk in unity to make this happen. And I understand some of you might be thinking, goals are gimmicky too, especially within the church. Actually, they're not. There's many goals that we read about throughout the Bible. Where there is no vision, you'll die. We have vision and we have goals. So what I ask that you would do is you would partner with us to pray about these things. God, how do we see these souls saved? How do we see these people set free? How do we have the resources to make an impact within this region? We want to have 7 very strategic events for outreach. Reaching the needy in mind, to love, meet the needs, and to share the good news. We hope that generations will be saved because of these outreach events. We want to establish local and regional missionary sites. I'm trying to hurry up. We want to establish local and regional missionary sites. So maybe within Mechanicsburg, West Liberty, Bell Fountain, Urbana, Springfield, something local or regional, maybe we Columbus, Cincinnati. And then what we want to do is we want to establish a committee. This is a goal. We want to establish a committee who's willing to plan and oversee and equip a team to go to the nations in 2020. So who of you in here might want to be a part of a committee that plans a mission trip to Africa or South America or Europe, wherever we want to go, right? We need a committee. And we want to increase our support to the missionaries that we have going to the world already, going to the nations. So, nevertheless, we want to see 100 people equipped to serve on outreach teams. Goals help us be accountable to our actions throughout the next several weeks, months, and years. And we're going to talk more about these goals and these values that we have as a church over the next several weeks. We can't forget that there's a war going on. We easily forget about that, right? Because we're getting ready to leave here, and the biggest war that we're going to face is that they're out of General Tso's chicken. Or we have to wait 10 minutes at La Palma. That's going to be the biggest war that consumes us, but there's such a greater war going on. There's people in our communities believing in false gods. Families are divorcing at extremely high rates. Drugs are taking over our communities. We can make an impact on that. God has actually called us to make an impact on that. It's our job to make an impact on that. So here at MCF, we need your help so that we're here in 2030, right? That we're thriving in 2030. You matter. Your participation matters. It is too big of a risk for you not to offer your gift here at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship. Maybe you say, I don't know the Bible. Well, you know what? Sign up for one of our Wednesday night classes. Get to know the Bible. Start reading the Bible. Meet that 75% attendance and start learning the Bible. Sign up for a small group. Maybe you say, I can't talk in front of people. Well, you can cut papers for us. Maybe you can answer phones for us. Maybe you can help set up and tear down. Maybe you can meet with a person one-on-one and disciple them. Maybe you can help build different stage illustrations or things we want to do throughout the building or floats for the community. Maybe you can help pass out food. Maybe you can pray for a neighbor. Maybe you can help organize the 2019 harvest party we want to have. The list goes on and on and on. Maybe you can serve in children's church. Maybe you can serve with the youth group or participate on the worship team. Serve in the tech booth, shout out. They're so into their job right now, they don't even hear it. So I'm gonna take a risk right now. Look, that's a hard pill to swallow. I have to do something in addition to everything else that my life consists of right now. My life is busy, you don't understand. Jesus is the focus, though. Jesus is the center. Don't allow everything else to steal from what true life is. So my risk is this. I want you to mean it, too. You know, it's really easy to be a part of the crowd. Really easy. But I want you to mean it. And I want you to know this, that what I'm getting ready to ask, the moment that I see you stand up, is the moment staff is going to ask for your help in some way. Now look, we're not going to say, hey, go run a marathon. We're going to work with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to ask you how you can serve this community and people better. But we are going to keep you accountable to that word. But I want to ask that you guys who are willing to partner with us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in 2019 for our communities would stand up right now. And then we're going to pray. Look, if you're saying, I don't know, I'm afraid, you don't know me. If you don't know your participation, sit down. Because here at Mechanicsburg Christian Fellowship, we're not going to judge you. Because there's been seasons in my heart, in my life, where I just haven't been ready. And that's okay. That's completely okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those who are standing right now, who say, use me, send me. We want to see more fruit. Father, we even pray for those, and we thank you for those who are sitting. Thank you for their boldness and their willingness to not even stand with the crowd and say, God, there's things in me. I don't know what the future holds for me. We ask for an abundant fruit for you, for your glory. Not our church, but for your glory this year. Souls saved, people set free. Help us, send us. Father, continually help us equip those who are standing. In Jesus' name, amen.